Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. In the studio with my big sister, Sheila G. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
Also, my good friend and mentor, Dr. D. How are you doing, sir?
We're blessed.
That we're going to go ahead and get started in the Word. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your Word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this Word to our lives, share it with others. As always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be back in the Word. I know last two Thursdays we've been talking about demons and how people are possessed and how people are influenced. And we want to let everybody know that it's okay to talk about these things. Amen. You don't have to be afraid, because God put it in His Word that that we might be aware.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about Bible study, Sheila G and Dr. G, is when you study the Word of God, what happens is you become equipped to be able to deal with the situations and the circumstances in the world. And it's vital for us to really begin to start talking up Bible study again. I think people have fallen by the wayside. And that's the plan of the enemy. And we have to understand that the words Jesus said, He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So in other words, the gates of hell are symbolic of people who need to be saved and on their way to hell.
That's right.
And if the people who are already saved,
amen,
church folk,
understand
that God says the gates of hell should not prevail, then the church should be kicking some devil butt.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. We should be victorious.
Knocking down the gates of hell, presenting the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and allowing them to by faith receive it. But if we don't get to a place where we can get taught the Word of God, then in the end we're ineffective and the gates prevail when they shouldn't prevail.
That's right.
You know, and that's why God gave pastors, he gave apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers. He gave gifts to the church so that they can edify and build up the church for the work of the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might think I'm making that up. Let's go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 4 chapter. See, Dr. G, you know better than I do. The church doesn't want to do no work.
No.
Can I use a double negative like
that?
Yeah. Don't want to do no work.
Amen.
Or let me be pop. Sheila, let me be
real.
Correct in my English. The church doesn't want to do any work.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And so if you look at Ephesians the 4th chapter, and look at verse 8. Well, let's go back to verse 7. Ephesians 4th chapter, verse 7. He says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts," what?
"Unto men."
"Unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things." So he's talking about his death, his burial, his resurrection, and now that he has overcome death in the grave, he's ascended after he's proven to all those who had died before that he was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke to them, let them know, hey, I am the Messiah. I am the promised one of God. All those that did not see, now you see,
right.
that God's fulfillment and prophecy came and is fulfilled in me.
Mm-hmm.
So he descended and he ascended back up, and then he gave gifts unto men.
Right.
So why did he give us the gift? He got a church full of people with gifts, right?
But he gave
gifts for the work,
right?
But folk don't want work.
Nope.
That's true.
Nope.
That's to equip everyone to do the work.
So what does he say in verse 11? He says, "And he gave and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers."
Mm-hmm.
So in these five gifts that are listing there. This is how the church is supposed to be established.
Mm-hmm.
How it's supposed to be, people are supposed to be evangelized. How people are supposed to be convicted by the word.
Mm-hmm.
and bought into the church. And
right.
After they bought into the church, the pastor is pastoring and shepherding them. And then this pastor is also teaching them.
Yeah.
So after you're saved, after you come out of the wilderness, after you've been convicted of the word, now you're in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just not supposed to sit on your behind of do nothing.
That's right.
But you're supposed to put yourself in a place where you can be with a teacher. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the what?
Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
For the edifying of the what?
Body
of Christ.
Amen. 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 Why are we supposed to take it beyond the wall?
But there's this thing where folk don't want to do no work.
No.
Folk don't want to be edified.
No.
Folk don't want to be perfected.
No.
Folk don't want to be built up.
No.
Folk just want to sit down and complain
about
everything. Dr. G, help me out, please.
Don't get me started.
Please.
Now, you know, you're right. They want those titles. They enjoy having the titles. You know, I'm chairman of this, and I'm in charge of this ministry. I'm deacon this. I'm reverend. I'm doctor. But you're right. Nobody don't want to work. I mean, you know, the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is in folks' minds that they think, okay, I come to church, but I'm not supposed to do anything while I'm there.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And the amazing thing is, but they'll go to work.
Oh, yeah.
And stay extra hours.
On time.
And do that extra thing. You know how on your job description it says
other duties as assigned.
Mm-hmm. So not only will they do those duties, but they'll still go that extra and do the other duties as assigned. But and okay, yes, you'll get a paycheck, but God is the one gave you the job, allows you to receive a paycheck, and then don't even want to give God the 10% that he asked for, or insert not just money, but service as well. So you'll bend over and do the work for man who can't bless you, who God uses to bless you, but you don't want to do the work for God.
And we say all this and go back through all this, is that Satan and his angels will do anything they can to keep you from being perfected,
Amen.
To keep you from being edified in the body of Christ, to keep you from working in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, we can't see.
No.
It's like something that we can't see. And so the conclusion is that maybe you weren't evangelized and weren't saved in the beginning.
Ouch.
Or, like you said, we need to get back to Bible study. So that, just like you said in the beginning, is that, okay, you've gotten saved, you confess the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, you're saved. Now God wants to put you to work. But if you're not studying, if you're not praying, if you're not getting into God's word, you're weak. And you have to build yourself up by understanding, and then you understand why you're there, what you have to do the work for, what your gift is. You develop that relationship. But a lot of people aren't doing that.
But, you know, you hit on something earlier, because part of it, they want a paycheck for working in the church. Now, if they're getting a check working in the church, oh, yeah, they'll do the work, but they're still not doing it in the way that the Lord wants, because they're not edifying the body of Christ. They're just going there to get to get the money, mm-hmm. and then they're going about their business.
Mm-hmm. Things that you see, faith.
And that's just keeping it real.
That's a lack of faith.
And so let's read a little bit more in that Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, mm. unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So we have a long road to go.
Hello.
To be what Christ wants us to be.
Amen.
And then in verse 14 it says that we henceforth be no more what?
Children.
I'll say that again.
Come on.
Children.
Say it.
Behave like what? Children that are what? Tossed to and fro and carried about every what? Wind of doctrine by the what? Sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to what? Deceive.
Amen, somebody.
Mm.
I remember that was my initial sermon. When I preached my initial sermon, was deceive members.
Yeah.
Deceive members.
Amen.
But the thing is, when we were talking about demons in the last two Bible studies, is we have to become aware that that's their job,
that's
to run interference and to distract our attention away from the knowledge of us understanding that we have the power and the authority, and that God has given us dominion over his earth.
Mm-hmm.
He gave Adam the authority and the dominion to name everything in this earth.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Y'all don't believe me. Let's go to Genesis.
Genesis.
Come on, man. We got to get this thing back together. It's time out for being ignorant to the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people don't want me to call them ignorant, or, well, I'll call them illiterate, but don't call me ignorant.
Amen.
Or don't call me illiterate.
Uh-huh.
But let's look at Genesis, the second chapter, and it says in verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." In other words, he said, I'm going to make a woman to help you, Adam, and that's why the man is the head, and he should be wearing the pants.
Amen.
She's supposed to help.
Right.
Him meet what God wants them to be.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Because he was made first.
Amen.
And was given the responsibility and the authority. And
that's
so while
right.
he's making her,
mm-hmm.
amen, he says, now, Adam, while I'm going to, and that's why women are so beautiful. That's why they should be nurtured and cherished and loved, because God took his time to make her.
Amen.
Mm.
So God was taking this, so I don't care who you are, where you are, what your nationality, women, you are beautiful, you are made by God. God took his time to make you. Don't let no joker come into your life
Amen.
And try to tell you any different.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You are fearfully
and
wonderfully made.
That's right.
Don't let no scallywag come into your life and ruin your life.
Amen. Uh-huh.
So let's go back to verse 18. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air." This is Genesis 2:19. "And every fowl of the air, and brought them unto" who?
Adam.
To what? See what? Who? What? He would call them.
Yeah.
Are you tracking with me?
Come on.
He gave man, he formed them, and he gave him the authority to what?
To name
each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the authority that man has in this earth.
Amen.
And he says, and he would call them, and whatever Adam what? Called every living creature, that was the name.
Amen.
God has given the man the dominion to over his earth.
Uh-huh.
He has given the power, the authority, but the enemy will want to come in and try to make him feel like he's not that. That's the way he attacked Jesus. When Jesus led out into the wilderness, he said, if you be the Son of Man,
Lord,
you know, turn these stones to bread.
Right.
But he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so, in other words, Jesus survived this earthly existence based upon the word of God that he's given. So if the word of God, who is Jesus, had to depend on the word,
what
makes us think that we can get through this earth
without God's word?
Without the word.
Amen.
It's a fantasy.
Amen.
To think that all you have to do is get up in the morning, or when you go to sleep, say, now lay me down to sleep, get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, and that's it. You have to get and study God's word, whether it's a daily bread, whether it's a devotion, because if you don't hide it in your heart in the time of trouble, you don't know how you can lean. You don't understand about the peace that surpasses all understanding. You don't know, in all my ways, I have to acknowledge him. You don't know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you don't study those things when you're going through, you don't have the time to go flipping through and say, okay, let me look in the concordance. Let me look in the index to see where I'm supposed to go when I'm feeling this way.
Your word has I hid in
it
my heart.
It has to be hidden in your heart.
And so that's why you see pastors and teachers so adamant about people learning. That's why when black folks were enslaved, there were people who learned how to read that were so passionate about risking their lives to be able to teach black folk how to read so they can educate, so they can improve their lives.
That's right.
So people wouldn't take advantage of it.
Thank you.
Because of a lack of knowledge.
And there's an old joke, and I'm thinking it might be true. They say if you want black folk to not know nothing, put it in a book.
Amen. You're not going to read it.
Dr. G.
You're right. And the Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. But how are we going to study? How are we going to show something if we haven't studied?
We're not
putting enough up there for it to come out. And then, you know, again, back to Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
And so we have five senses. We can hear, we can see, we can smell, we can taste, and we can touch, or we can feel. But there's a spirit realm that we live in.
Mm. Right.
Come on.
And in order for us to become strong in the spirit man, we have to partake of the word of God.
That's right.
Got to nurture it.
And if we don't take part of the nutrients of the spirit, then we might be strong as an ox physically, but spiritually weak on the inner man.
Right.
And so what we have to do is we have to understand that this my five senses is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get this word in me.
Mm-hmm.
And God says it's a faith thing.
Yeah.
And it says faith comes by what? Hearing. And what? Hearing of the what? The word of God. And so I can't be strengthened by faith on the inner man if I don't get the word of God in.
That's right.
It's as vital as eating every day.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't eat every day, over a period of time, your vital organs are going to shut down.
Yeah.
You're going to become weak. You're going to be sick. You're going to be toxic. And we have too many weak, sick, toxic Christians because they're not eating the word of God.
Amen.
And they don't have a desire to.
Well, when you get to a certain point when you're weak and sick and toxic, you lose your appetite.
Right. And that's exactly when Jessica was in the hospital, that's exactly what happened. She was in the hospital for 2 weeks. By the time she got to the point after the surgery that she could start eating again, she couldn't eat again because her appetite was gone because she hadn't been eating. Now, once she got that appetite gap, then she started eating, then she started putting weight on. But you're right. Once you stop doing it, it's hard to, like, okay, now I'm okay to get back doing it again.
Exactly.
Because you're too weak. You're just too weak to do it.
And so this is the attack of the enemy, and it'll drive a teacher crazy, especially if you're teaching children in their primary years, And you're saying, okay, in order for you to go to the next grade, in order for you to be successful in this world, in order for you to be able to take care of yourself, I want to be able to teach you how to fish.
Right.
I'm not going to be around to give you a fish every
That's
day.
Right. That's right. That's right.
There are going to be some days where I'm trying to get some fish for myself.
Hello.
But if I can get your attention long enough
Come on.
To take you down to this water, show you what a fishing rod is, show you what the worm is, what the hook, how to cast it out there, how to pull it in, and teach you how to fish, then my job is done, and I know that you can fish, you can survive, and you'll be all right.
Even if the line breaks every so often,
right.
Don't panic because you would have experienced it, and you'll know what to do.
But, you know, all of this new technology out there has made us so weak and lazy. We don't want to take the time to do that. Mm-hmm. It takes too much time to get a fish line, learn how to fish, put the bait on, throw the line out. You know, we'd rather sit up there and play a game to learn how to play fishing.
Right.
On the game.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Sitting somewhere with the fingers going.
That'll be in the video.
But the enemy is aware of this.
Yeah.
He's aware of, and he has an advantage.
Yep.
That he knows if he keeps us weak in the spirit,
that's right.
Because he's in the spirit realm, that gives him the upper hand.
Amen.
But when we become strong in the spirit, we're able to start casting down those strongholds.
Come on.
Yeah.
We're able to start walking in the spirit, start being able to use our spiritual sense, and be able to knock down those gates of hell that are holding so many people back. The church is supposed to be edified and built up and equipped to be able to go and knock down, because Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But there's too many people that are not willing to be a part of the laborers to go reap the harvest.
Nope.
Amen.
The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few.
That's right.
Because we don't want to be built up and edified to do the work of ministry.
The work.
It takes too much time.
And we don't understand the attack of the enemy is to, by demonic influences or demonic forces, to keep us from seeing that there's someone out there that all they need to hear is one word.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And they can be free for the rest of their life.
Right.
Amen.
But we don't want to teach nobody.
No, we don't.
We don't have compassion.
Well, even beyond that, we don't want to show it in how we act. It's like you see people, they'll be one way in the church. But catch them in the grocery store when somebody got the order wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or catch them in a restaurant when the waiter accidentally dropped or spilled something. You know, maybe that person's having a bad day, but putting that smile on your face saying, that's okay, we'll take care of it or do that,
to
encourage that person to say, there's something different about you.
Right.
What is it? And that opens that door, say, okay, I want to have that same type of personality. So, people want to make it seem like it's so much work to try to reach others. But if you equip yourself, it will come natural.
And what God does, Dr. G, is he puts you in places where you can be used like that.
That's right.
But he can't put you, in front of I'm not even going to say it, to be used.
Amen.
Because you are embarrassing.
Amen. Amen. And you know, I was sitting here thinking, because, here we go, some folk don't even have to be away from the church. Because they'll act foolish in the church.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to Matthew, and you guys help me out here on the 13th chapter. Because it's saying that the wheat and the tares grow together.
Hello.
Yeah.
So basically what God is saying, and I'm going to read it. We're going to read it together. But the point that I'm saying is, at some point, you have to question whether folk are saved or not.
Because they go together.
I know it's not a popular subject,
Amen.
But everybody in the church ain't saved.
Come on, let's keep it real.
Someone has bought some bad seed,
Amen.
And planted it in church.
Amen. Amen.
And folk that you think are saved ain't saved.
Amen.
And so when Jesus, let's go back to the last five verses of chapter 12. And Jesus said, I don't care if you're the mother, the father. Let's read what he said. In verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, this is Matthew 12, verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak to him. Now this is his mother and his brother. And so Jesus goes on to say, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother and who is my brother?
Come on now.
So you can stand up in the church and say, well, who's my mother, who's my brother? You can stand in your family and say, who's my mother, who's my brother? You say, well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? So Jesus says, and he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall what? Do.
The will of my father.
Hold up. Let's go back to verse 50. This is the key right here. This is the point I'm trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
For whosoever shall what?
Do.
I'm going to do it one more time. For whosoever shall what? Do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about following Christ and doing God's work.
That's how I can tell that you're a true child of God.
Right.
Thank you.
Whether you're my mother, my brother,
right.
my sister,
right.
you might be biologically,
yeah.
my, but if you're my mother, a brother and sister in Christ, you spiritually, you're going to be doing the will of God.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
And if you're not doing the will of God,
That's
I'm going
right.
to be like Christ. You know, who is? Who
right.
are you?
Amen. Amen.
Who
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Dr. G, am I getting a little too rough?
Here? No, you're hitting on it because, see, again, you know, you've got too many folk in the church who are not working for the Lord, doing what God wants us to do. And so, just like Jesus says, whosoever shall do.
Yeah.
Do. That means you got to get off your butt and do.
Action words.
The
will
of my Father.
Father.
Not your own will,
yeah.
but the will of my Father.
Not the will of the preacher. Not
Thank
the will
you.
Of the song, the will of, it's all about God at the end of the day. It's about what does God want you to do. And if you're in touch with the Word, if you're in touch with Him, speaking with Him in daily bread, He will, on a daily basis, He
yeah.
will lead,
guide
you, direct
yeah.
you. He will tell you when to be quiet. He will
when
tell you
speak.
When to speak. He will tell you when to go. He'll tell you when to stand. He will tell you when to sit down and shut up.
Amen. But they always think that the pastor, the teacher is meddling.
Right.
Don't want to hear, always meddling, always trying to tell me something to do. I get tired of hearing you
yeah.
saying, I'm just trying to help you get
Amen.
A better
right.
relationship with God,
Amen.
Do God's will, and go help reap some of that harvest
Amen.
Out there.
That's right. That's right.
And then they get caught
you
up
to
in
draw
the field.
Christ. Right. Quick you draw others to Christ because there's more to this walk. And sitting in church on Sunday. It just is.
Waving your
and
hand.
And that's what God commanded to go out
to go.
And preach. Yeah. Go. He said go. Like he says do, then he says go.
Yeah.
You can't do that just between 11 and 1:30.
Right. And when the pastor or the teacher starts telling them, then they get in their feelings, oh, I'm tired. That's all they ever talk about. Well, we ain't doing.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't doing
nothing.
When I'm gonna tell you, when Jesus said, "Depart from me, you workers
no
of iniquity."
Hello,
I know you not. You
well,
gonna wish?
I did. Well, I did do a little something.
That little ain't gonna make it.
But the, here is what I'm getting to is like, if you can not be affected by this word and this word doesn't convict you
mm-hmm.
and cause you to want to do the will of God and find more and more. About God, then there's something wrong there.
Right.
And Jesus is going to talk about this in the 13th. I want everybody to read this 13th chapter. He's talking about this sower. He's talking about this seed that's being sown, the word of God, and the different soils, the three different soils that it falls on.
Mm-hmm.
And some folk, amen, it fell and they didn't get it
right.
in three of the soils. But the fourth soil it fell on, it was good, and those are the people that produce fruit.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, if you ain't, can I use ain't? I
Go
know
ahead,
I'm going to use the proper
it.
Word. If you're not producing good fruit, if you're not producing good fruit, you might be one of these other three soils.
Right.
And you need to get back in touch with who Jesus is and make sure that he's your Lord, not only Lord, but not only Savior, but Lord.
Right.
See, a lot of times we want a Savior,
right.
but we don't
want
a Lord.
Lord. Don't want to have that
but
authority.
He has to be Savior and Lord.
Lord.
Amen.
Like, save me, but don't have authority over me.
Right. So read chapter 13. Let's read chapter 13 of Matthew. Because some folks saved in the church and some folks ain't, Dr. G.
Say it.
Here we go. Chapter 13, Matthew. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony place, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And verse 6 says, And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away.
Mm-hmm.
And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth what?
Fruit.
Some are what? 100-fold, some what? 60-fold, and some what? 30-fold.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if you ain't bringing forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold,
something wrong.
You like the wayside,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
You like the thorns, and you like
the stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said, Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? I don't understand. And the reason Jesus said, the reason why he spoke to them in parables is because God didn't want them to understand.
Right.
Because it wasn't for them to understand. Because they had eyes, but they didn't want to see.
Right.
They had ears and didn't want to hear.
Right.
And they had hearts that had waxed cold.
Right.
And so God says, if I speak to you, you're not going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
If I show it to you, you're not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I appeal to your compassion, you're not going to feel it. So, in other words, all them multitudes that he was talking to, he already knew what they were seeing, what they were hearing, what they was going to do with their heart.
Right.
And so he said, I'm not even going to waste my time explaining it to you. I'm going to speak to you in a parable. So what the prophet Isaiah said will be fulfilled, that they had eyes and they didn't see, that they had ears and they didn't hear. And he's doing this to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. Let's continue in verse 10. He says, And the disciples came and said to him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? See, the disciples didn't know he was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah.
Right.
In verse 11, he said, He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know, given unto you. He said, It's given unto you to what? To know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a teacher or a pastor, this gives us a relief.
That's right.
To say, Why aren't they listening? Why aren't they getting it?
Amen.
And the reason is they're not
listening.
They're not listening. They can't. They not have the capacity. They're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary to me as a teacher or a pastor in the church to say that we will minister the word of God, but know that there's some folk that are going to reject it flat out and not get it.
Right. Amen. But everybody has the opportunity to, if they want to. At the end of the day, it's free will. So it's not like you're not allowed to get it.
No.
It's just that, like you said, you got to work and you have to be prepared and willing to receive it. But God is like, if you don't get it, you can't say, because I didn't give it, put out there
right.
for you.
Right. But he already knew their heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I'm going to speak in parables.
Right.
So look what he says in verse 12. He says, For whosoever hath, to him shall what? Be given. And he shall have more abundance, but whosoever have not, what? From him shall be taken away even that which would he have.
He's going to lose double.
So in other words, if your ground ain't right, if it ain't follow, if it ain't good, that little bit of stuff that you have is going to be taken away from.
Amen. Amen. That's why you have to root it in ground.
That's why your heart has to be right with God.
Let's
look what he says in verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Right. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they seeing what? See not. And hearing they what? Hear not. Neither do they what? Hear you talk to they blue in the face. And I know pastors and teachers, and sometimes you like a parent, you can talk to blue in the face.
Yeah.
And they look at you like, what you talking about, Willis?
About. Mm-hmm.
And here Jesus says, And in them it is fulfilled, the what? The prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is what? Wax gross. I mean, calloused over. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time, this is the scary part right here, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be what? Converted, and I should heal them. Dr. G, my surmise is that there are folk in the church, Sheila G, who are not converted.
That's amen.
Right.
That's amen.
Right. Amen.
And that's just being real.
Amen. And eventually it comes out. Like you said, eventually
it shows.
It shows what soil you seeded in.
I mean, that might not be the popular subject tonight, but there are folk in the church who are not converted.
That's right.
That's why they can't understand when the pastor says this
Amen.
Is what we
need,
to,
do. Need
to do. That's why they can't see when the teacher says this is what you need to do.
Right.
That's why they don't have the heart to perceive what's going on when the prophecy of word is going out, because they have not been converted, because they don't want to see, they don't want to hear, and their heart is callous. Over.
Amen.
Right.
Dr.
Amen.
G, am I going in
the
right
direction? You're doing all right. And the thing is, we who are for real, as far as teachers go, we can't get discouraged or let that mess with us, because if Jesus did it, then we have to do the same.
Right.
And every so often, as leaders, we have to be reminded. Because if you let those folks, they will take your focus off of what you have been
the
sent
mission.
To do.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll miss out on your blessing.
Amen. Amen.
So we have to stay in that word and reminded of what God wants us to do. Because, again,
right.
it's not about us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. But Sheila, they don't see it.
They don't see it.
They
don't
hear
it.
Their heart can't perceive.
Just not right.
He still puts it out there for
It's me. Still out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there.
But he said, I'm going to put
I
it out there in a parable.
Right.
Because I can't make you. I can't make you when you've already got your mind made up.
Well, see, Jesus could, but that's not his style.
Right.
You know, it was a whosoever will.
Yeah, and I'm going to fulfill the prophecy.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is what Isaiah said, and here it is coming. That's why we talk about the Bible. There's nothing new
There's
under
nothing
the sun.
Under the sun.
This is the Bible. So there ain't nothing new.
Mm-mm.
Folks still can't hear it spiritually. They can't
nope.
see it spiritually.
Nope.
And they don't have a spiritual heart.
Nope.
Come on now.
And so, like you said, Dr. G, for the leaders, the pastors, the teachers, those who have the gifts in the church, don't get upset.
Amen.
Don't get bent out of shape. Don't beat your head. Don't beat yourself up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be some folk that's either the wayside soil,
Hello.
The stony soil,
Come on.
Or the the wayside, the thorny, and the, I can't remember what
stony.
The other one. Stony. Yeah.
Stony.
Thorny and the stony. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he goes, and he tells his disciples, and this is what we need to tell those in the church, he said, blessed what are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.
That's
right. So folks that understand the word
and
hear the word and see, you're blessed.
Right.
Because everybody isn't blessed.
Amen.
Right? And so in verse 17, he says, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. In other words, all the prophets that pointed to Christ, they were dying to hear the words of Christ.
Hello.
But God gave them, like he said, right now we see through a glass darkly.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they didn't have the full picture, but they had the faith. But when Christ came, he was the fulfillment of all the prophecy, and now his disciples have the ability to see it right out front.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The church today have the Spirit of God willing to come and live within them,
mm-hmm.
so they can
yeah.
have the presence of God right now.
Right.
But they have to develop their inner man to be able to have that relationship with God.
That's right.
And so in verse 18 he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now he's going to break it down to them. He says, when anyone hear the word of God, word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one.
We're
talking about them demons, right?
Here come.
Right?
Yeah.
And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. that is he which receiveth by the wayside. Mm. So there's folk where, as soon as they hear the word, the demon,
yep,
demonic spirits will mm-hmm. come and blow that word away.
Right.
Amen.
Like you never had it.
Yep.
And in verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receive it. It's an emotional response.
Come
anon
on.
Means it's emotional.
Come on.
So you got folks that hear the word, they're like, yeah, 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 oh, man, praise the Lord, yeah, yeah. They're on fire for about 50 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yet hath he no root in himself, but during for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arise because of this word by he is offended. In other words, you the persecution, in other words, well, I can't stand it. These folks, they talking about me now.
Uh-huh.
They call me a holy roller, and now they're offended by the word.
Uh-huh.
In other words, the word was good for a while. I was excited, but now I got some challenges, and you know, I'm not going to stand on the word because, you know, the world is talking about me and talking about my faith and talking about this. And so they stop.
Right.
They stop getting into word because the concern of this joy that they had was a temporary thing,
uh-huh.
and they didn't have any roots. And a lot of times in the church, you have people that don't have the roots, and the world will persecute them and have the tribulation, and that's what the enemy does.
Uh-huh.
That's the demonic spirits will give you that persecution, tribulation, and then they say, I quit.
Uh-huh.
And it says in verse 22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that beareth the word, heareth the word, and the care of what? This world and the deceitfulness of
riches
choke the word, and he becometh what?
Unfruitful.
Right? So you got the wayside, you got the stony, and you got the thorny. And then he says in verse 23, but he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
Mm.
This is letting us know what's happening. That you got folk that are in different categories.
Amen.
And if people are hearing the word,
come on,
and seeing,
all right,
and not bringing forth fruit,
uh-huh,
then back to what he said in that verse 40:15, they're not converted.
Amen.
They're not converted. In other words, there hasn't been a transformation, a spiritual. In other words,
mm-hmm.
when Paul said, if any man be in Christ Jesus,
he
is a new creature.
Uh-huh.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When Paul would say the scale fell from his eyes, he could see spirits.
Amen.
But people walk around with scales on their eyes.
Come on.
Not converted. That's why John, he said, in order for you to see the kingdom of God, you must be what? Born again.
Hello.
And so herein is the problem. The problem is folks not born again.
Amen.
Folks haven't been converted.
Uh-huh.
And they can't hear, they can't see. So
exactly.
In other words, it's like you speaking to me in Russian.
Come on.
And I have no idea what you're talking about.
Amen. Amen.
But not trying to learn it either.
Mm-mm.
But won't try to learn.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Help me out, Doc.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, you know, it's one thing to hear it and not understand it, but then not to try to help yourself.
Right.
I mean, that's just plain laziness, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call it. But you know, it goes back to the whole thing where you've got to have a sincere desire. You've got to want it. And if you don't want it, you're not going to do anything to get it.
And you'll thirst for it. If you really have made that change hunger in your life,
thirst,
mm-hmm.
and
you will hunger and thirst for it, you'll feel like, okay, you know what, I need to read my words today.
Amen.
You know, it just becomes a part of you. So you'll want it. It's like, I'm tired physically and spiritually. I know I need to be on the prayer line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired physically, but spiritually, I know I need to read God's word. I may have read a chapter two or three times, but the third and the second time, I may not have gotten the same thing. And that's why you have to feed that. That's that hearing thing. When you know you're converted, you have that desire.
Mm-hmm.
You may be physically exhausted,
mm-hmm.
but you feel like I need to get some words,
mm-hmm.
some studying, some prayer in sometime today, because otherwise I do not feel complete. But if you don't, if you haven't been converted, God is still around you, but you don't even know he exists. It's like you're walking in a room and it's not, and he's there, but you don't see him.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly.
And you're not tapping into it.
And the bad part about it is, you know, the Bible, just like verse 15 says, if you're not getting it, then you're not converted.
Right.
But if we come along and tell them that, then they're going to be all up in their feelings.
Well, that's why the Bible says you're supposed to preach in season and out of season,
mm-hmm.
for this very purpose, because I don't want you to stop preaching. I don't want you to start
right.
sending the message,
right.
because there are going to be times where you're going to send it and it's going to fall on stony
yes,
ears.
Yes.
But I still want you to put it out there,
yeah.
whether it's in season or out of season.
Yeah.
You've got to be consistent, because that way you're doing my work and not
yeah.
trying to please man.
Amen.
And like I said, that's a reality that every teacher and every pastor has to come to, is that everyone that you're speaking to, teaching is not converted.
No, nope.
Right.
Even folks that have been in the church for years
long
and years.
Time.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand that the enemy, we'll read further in Matthew 13 is a good chapter. It'll start talking about all the parables that Jesus talked about. But there's one that talks about the tares and the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand that the enemy will come in and he will sow tares in with the congregation,
mm-hmm.
to create a fight in ministry. That's why it's so important for people to pray,
mm-hmm.
pray in the spirit, to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
so they won't be influenced by those who are not converted that are in the church.
Right.
And there's all kind of spirits that run around. But if the people of God don't grow, if you continue to be a babe,
mm-hmm.
and you're on milk, then you can't fight back.
That's right.
But we need to grow up in God and be able to fight back.
Right.
When is the church going to fight and understand that the gates of hell shall not prevail? When he said the gates of hell shall not prevail, that means that there's a battle going on.
Yes, all the time.
That's the battle that he said in Genesis 3:15.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, let's go to Genesis 3:15 again. Hallelujah. And he tells us in the first book of the Bible that there's going to be a battle. In Genesis 3:15. He says, and I will put enmity, in other words, war, between thee, talking about Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So here's the picture of Jesus stomping on the head of Satan, and Satan is firing back like a snake to hit his heel.
That's right.
This is a battle, folks.
Amen.
And I hate to be I wouldn't say direct, but I hate to be, because some people think of church as pie in the sky,
no,
and you know, the pretty organ music,
no.
and the you know,
take the rose colored glasses off.
You know, this is a straight up battle. If he tells us in the third chapter of the book of Bible that he's gonna bruise your heel and he's gonna bruise your head, there's gonna be enmity, but it's gonna be a war.
Yeah.
Why do we think that it's not gonna be a war? Why do we think every day we think it's going to go, like, I love you, we doing the Barney. You love me.
Right.
You know, we doing the Barney.
Amen.
And the devil kicking our butt.
Amen.
And we don't know why.
Amen.
We're not.
I'm mad as
Amen.
Heck at you. You mad as
Amen.
Heck at me.
Amen.
And the gates of hell are still prevailing.
All right.
Same thing when they're having a party. Having a good old time.
But look what it says in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise
his
heel.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle.
Every time he stomps, he going to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Right.
Fight back.
Amen.
Boom. It's a stomp. It's
mm-hmm.
a tack.
Amen.
It's a stomp. Strike. Stomp. Strike. Stomp.
Mm-hmm.
Strike. And
stomp,
so if this is the battle between Christ and Satan,
yeah.
stomp, strike, stomp. Why do we think we're not going to give up?
Come on.
Well, that's why he put the things in the Bible to equip us to deal with it. He wouldn't have to put the things like fret not thyself if that wasn't going to happen. He wouldn't have
no
to tell you.
No weapon formed against
me. No weapon formed against you. I'm more than a conqueror.
Greater is he than is in
your,
me.
Your enemy, your footstool. He wouldn't have to put all that in there to remind us that, yes, there is a spiritual battle, but I gave you the tools. I gave you the whole armor to fight with it. But we'll get in our car and put our seatbelt on not to have an accident, but we will put the word in our heart.
How about
that? Keep Satan from destroying us.
How about that?
Well, you know, too, what happens most occasions when folk come and they accept Christ, they do it off of an emotional high.
Mm-hmm.
And once they come down, they feel good, they cry, and they boo-hoo and sneer, snot, and everything else. But then when they come down, they don't understand that because it is a spiritual battle, that's when you've got to start getting into your word. You've got to start feeding off of that word. Because if you don't, and I tell folk all the time, okay, you've gotten baptized now, then when we give you the right hand to fellowship, okay, you're good. But that's when the work has got to start. Because if it don't, the devil is right there. Because he knows that you're most vulnerable right then, and he's going to do everything he can to pull you back. And people don't realize it is a spiritual battle.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, we go up, we come down. We go up, and we come down. Then when we don't get to that point and the enemy is throwing all that stuff at us, then we want to pull away from the church, pull away from the word, pull away from everything that has helped us get to that point.
Yeah.
We look at our houses, we look at our homes, we look at our kids. Everything else becomes more important to us than the Lord.
Amen.
And just like I was reading some of those devotionals this week, then God has to use anything and everything to get our attention and bring us back down to where we are.
That's right.
It is a battle.
Yep.
It's a fight going on.
And we have to equip ourselves to do it.
And we stand, but we're standing in a gap between life and death. Between life and death. When we become converted, we become Christ-like. We've been given an assignment. We've been given a great command. We've been given the authority. And we've been given the instructions that the gates of hell should not prevail. He said that, right?
Amen.
It shall not prevail.
That's right.
And if we understand that, that means that there has to be some follow-through on what God wants us to do.
Yeah.
But we have to be equipped to do it so we don't beat up or beat each other up while we're doing it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Which comes to getting into the word so you can walk by faith and so you can walk in the spirit and bear the fruit of the spirit instead of the manifestation of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible, it lists like 9 fruit of the spirit and like 17 manifestations of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And some days you don't know if it's the Christian manifesting the flesh or walking in the spirit.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
But It's time out, and I don't want to be like a warmonger and tell people that, you know, it's all war. But God wants us to have abundant. He said he came that we might have life in that more abundantly. But United States is a country where we can live a decent life, but we got the baddest military in the world.
Right. Amen. Amen. And intelligence.
So it's not like, you know, when you hear the word of God and it's a battle that you can't live an abundant life but still have the baddest God
amen
that
right.
exists.
That's right.
And then when it comes up, you can put a beat down where it needs to be.
That's
amen.
Right.
You can take that missile and put it right on that X in prayer.
Yes.
And Father, you said in your word, fret not thyself because of evildoers, because they soon shall be what? Cut
Come
off.
Home.
And that laser guided missile will go right over there and boom and wither like the what?
Yep.
Grass.
And it lets you see it. But you gotta trust it.
And then I go on with my abundant life.
You have to trust them and have the faith. All predicated on our belief in Christ.
And he says if you resist the devil, he'll flee.
But he's going to keep coming back.
And you need to have a prayer life and a study life, a Bible life, in order to be able to do this.
I'm finished. I'm going to get off my high horse. Thank you, Lord. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to get off my high horse. Y'all going to have the rest that closes out any comments? I know they about tired of me tonight.
None here. Lord revealed himself over here. I got you.
So the final words are pretty much that if we know that there's a spiritual warfare, and we know that we have to be fruitful, and we know that we cannot stop spreading God's word because people won't hear it. Because there will be those that won't hear. We have to stay focused on what it is that God wants us to do.
Yeah.
God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to share his word. We can't stay in our emotions and say we're not going to grow. We're not going to put God's word out there because people don't want to hear it. It's not about that. It's not about our emotions. It's not about how we feel. It's about our obedience unto God.
And we can't be like Jonah.
Right.
And refuse to go do it.
I ain't doing
that's right.
Because they're hard-headed.
We still have to go to Nineveh.
Amen.
Yes.
We can't say, I ain't going to Nineveh because they ain't going to hear it anyway.
They aren't going to hear it anyway.
That's not an option for us.
No, it is not.
Amen.
Let us close out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you just manifested yourself to continue to reveal to us what our mission is, Lord. I pray, Father, that we will hide that word in our heart, that we will take it out beyond these walls, and we will share it not just with our lips, Lord, not with lip service, but in our actions,
yes,
Lord. And that we will not allow the things we see, hear, touch, feel, stop us from doing what it is that you would have us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that we will walk in spirit and not in the flesh.
Amen.
In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to do it for us tonight. We're going to get some comments on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.